Hi, everybody. Dean Chris back in the studio. What a great week we've had. We had Wayne Ivey on last week, and oh my God, folks we've heard from, we heard from so many people that really have enjoyed. We're going to get Wayne back on soon. He's one of those guests that, man, he can just come on anytime and talk. He's got so much on his plate in terms of leadership, but he's got so much on his mind too. And he's one of those, kind of evolutionary kind of leaders, and I really enjoyed having him. But this week we're going to be talking about freestyling. Now, what's freestyling means, that I'm just going to talk about a number of subjects in terms of leadership. We've been doing a lot of stuff at LHLN here over the last couple of months, and we're going to share some of that with you. But we're going to talk about some things we've learned, and I'm going to have Kelly Corbin with me, who's going to help me with this podcast this week. So as we always say on this podcast, you know how we say it, folks. Set back, turn up the volume, you're ready to change your life. Hi, I'm Dean Crisp. Welcome to Straight Talk on Leadership. This is what we'd like to say is the no BS zone, where we give you leadership tips, ideas, and practical suggestions to help you become a top leadership performer. Our goal is simple. Help you become the best version of yourself and reach your highest potential as a leader. So sit back, turn up the volume, you're ready to change your life. Hi, everybody. Dean Crisp back here in the studio this week. So excited for the podcast. I've noticed that I say that all the time about how excited I am to be in the podcast booth. But, really, realistically, I am excited. It's not so much that I'm excited to be on a podcast. I'm excited to share the information of what I've learned this week. And if I can share the information, what I've learned, that means I'm growing. And so this week we hope to continue that process. This is going to be freestyling week. And this is where I'm going to be joined with Kelly Corbin in the studio. And Kelly, I really appreciate you joining us in. We're going to do freestyling. We're going to talk about a lot of things this week. So just everybody buckle up. Kelly's going to be asking me a couple of questions, but I'm going to be talking about some things I've learned over the last couple of months about myself and about leadership, talk about some things that I've been reading, just talk about some things I'm rereading. One of the things I say about rereading a book is I got this from John Maxwell. So the first time you read the book, you read the book. The second time the book reads you. And I think that is so, so true. So I'm rereading some stuff and I'm just out on the road and getting ready for a long 3 weeks on the road. I'm going to be in Wyoming this week coming up. I'm going to be teaching with FBI leader. I'm going to be doing a supervisory class out there. Then I'm headed to Biloxi, Mississippi. I'm going to be headed out to Biloxi, Mississippi. I'm going to be doing an intentional leadership course for them. They've been trying to get me out there for a number of months. And I really, really appreciate those folks partnering with us. And we've learned a lot about partnering in leadership over the last couple of months about, how do you really form partnerships? So we're going to be sharing some of that stuff with you. But the folks at Biloxi, we really appreciate. And then speaking to the Police Chiefs Conference in Mississippi, all those great folks who are out there on the front lines, out there in the trenches, doing the job every day. I'm going to talk about the business of leadership and understanding how important it is for you to understand the business of leadership. Then the next week, I'm in Berlin. And we're going to be in Berlin, Massachusetts. We're going to be doing the Master Presenter course. If you haven't had an opportunity to do that course, I highly recommend that. Matter of fact, everybody who takes that course always says it's one of the best courses they've ever taken. And it's just a great week of becoming a master leader and a master presenter. You can't beat it when you can be those two things, when you can be when you can be really good at leadership and you can be really good at presenting, those combinations really mix together and make a great, great kind of leader, if you will. And then after that, I'll be going to Southwestern, I believe it's Technical College in Virginia, Bristol, Virginia. And we'll be up there with those folks. So got a lot ahead, a lot of things we're doing. Kelly, I really appreciate you joining us this week. Thank you.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. It's always fun to talk about these topics. We've done a lot of strategic planning this week. And you'll be in Southwest at the Criminal Justice Academy, I think is the name of that place. So that's exciting. We're really excited to be helping those folks out because oftentimes those rural areas across America, don't get the same access that others do. And so we're really excited to be helping them to bring your class intentional leadership to those folks in Southwestern Virginia.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm really excited to be there, and I'm joined this week. I just saw come and dropped in the podcast here is yes. Drew. And Andrew has been in a week of training. Andrew has stepped out and stepping up big time. He's bought a security business, and he has literally been training like a wild person. And he's been getting a lot. He's been in Omaha, was in Atlanta this week, learning how to run the security business. And I'm really, really proud of him. Andrew, I appreciate you joining us. And I know you attended some training that you're going to talk a little bit about this week. So, man, I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to have you. It's good to be back. Good to be back home.
Man, I tell you, you got a little bit of cold going on there, man. You know, when you got them little babies, that happens, right?
Yeah, I got a little bit. It's not terrible. Just the voice is bad.
All right, man. I hear you. So, you know, one of the things, Kelly, I want to tell our audience about, in case they didn't know, is that we've created this new course designed to unparalyze police officers and leaders. We know with the recent events around the country, we know with the disconnect from the communities, we know that a lot of police officers feel completely paralyzed in doing their job. We know that there's this real kind of bridge between being a warrior cop and a guardian cop. And how do you do that? What's the right mindset? How do you de-escalate? How do you include diversity into your communities? You know, how do you talk that language and how do you do that? And we've created this 2.5-day course that is just literally, I don't like this, you know, I don't like to sound like that, you know, we create things that are magical, but to be honest with you, everybody who's had it has said, wow, wish we'd have had this so much earlier in terms of understanding the difference between the warrior guardian, understanding how to connect to your communities, how to unparalyze your cops, how to help them make really tough decisions in really critical instances. So if you're interested in hearing more about that, we can bring that course to your organization. And we really, it's like policing in the new world, the warrior guardian mindset. And, you know, it's absolutely been well received, been doing that all over the country. So if you haven't heard about it, we're going to have a landing page with it soon. You can go on to LHLN.org, or you can call Kelly or me or email us and ask us about that course. We're getting ready to do it in a number of locations. And it fits that bill between the de-escalation, the warrior guardian, and also the bias diversity. And the one thing about it is it's cops teaching cops. Yes. It isn't somebody else from the community coming in talking about, well, if you're a cop, do this, you're a cop, do that. I think that's what we lose a lot of times is the, you know, the cop mindset when we're trying to teach people. Although folks from the outside can offer a lot, but to be honest with you, it's always better when cops are talking to cops that I found in terms of training. I learn more, especially when I'm a cop. Yeah. All right, folks. So here we go. Kelly, you want to say some more about that course before we head out?
Well, I was just going to emphasize with that new course that we are teaching that it was created in partnership with a law enforcement agency. And that's what makes it so great. We actually surveyed what field training officers were seeing, what the supervisors were seeing, what the recruits felt and were experiencing as they went through the academy. And so we feel like this has really created a course that is going to meet a lot of needs, not just new hires, but even just creating that new mindset of what being a police officer means in today's world.
Oh yeah. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right. So let's get into the podcast, folks. And we want to thank you for joining us. And, you know, Drew, I was impressed. It was funny. People don't, you know, and I haven't really even pretty much told this to Kelly, but although Kelly and I were in, we were in meetings, we had discussions all week about literally strategically planning. Where we're going directionally and how do we get on the same page? And, you know, here we are, we teach leadership around the country, but we're just like you. We have to practice what we talk about and we have to do those things that we talk about. And I think we learned some things this week that I want to share with the people and, you know, just take away some tidbits of stuff that we've learned. And Andrew and Andrew was texting me. He was like, what type of conversations do you have with people, critical versus what? he was texting me like, that thing called transactional, transformational. What about that? What's this thing on emotional intelligence? I mean, it was like, I was like, oh my God, you know, I was loving it hearing Andrew, my son, you know, out here in a leadership course, getting ready to start his business, putting these things into play that he's heard me talk about. But not only that, that he's learned himself. And it was one of the moments where I was like, oh my God, this is so awesome. You know, being able to text back with your grown son about leadership stuff. Oh my God, it was just great. So Drew, I know you've had a great week. And so we're going to let you chime in here in a minute and say, learn, talk about some of the stuff you learned and mm-hmm. ask some questions about leadership, because you know, you're in that generation that always wants to know why, which drives all of us nuts, especially the older generation, me, always why? Well, you know, sometimes I feel like saying just because I said so. But, you know, that's not really the best way to lead. So, you know, we just say that with a grain of salt and kind of jokingly. But anyway, so, you know, let's talk about a couple of things we've learned this week. And Drew, please feel free to chime in here. And Kelly, you know, we did a lot of strategic planning this week. And so out of that, I took a lot from that. One of the things is, you have to, and I know this is kind of like a little bit of a, you're probably not going to think this is what I'm going to say next, but this is what I'm going to say. And I'm going to connect it together, but you have got to grow yourself in order to be able to plan strategically, if that makes sense. A lot of people go into a strategic planning process and they haven't grown any, and they haven't really pushed themselves forward with anything. They've kind of like, you know, the only time they ever do strategic planning is when the boss calls them to a meeting and says, we're going to have this strategic planning session and we're going to try to figure the direction of where the organization goes. And man, they come in and they haven't grown a bit themselves, and their mindset is totally like in the past, and they're not able to look forward because they're freaking stuck in the past. And Kelly, I want to share this, and I get really excited when I share stuff that we kind of create, but we also see it work. And, you know, and you and I've been talking about this. I don't know what's happened to us personally as a business, but since September of last year, we have literally, our brains have been on fire with creating content and just growing and just becoming a better version of ourselves. You know, it's like, and you can really see it take off since January, just in terms of our own conversations. But there's one thing that I talked to you about that I kind of stumbled across about 6 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago. And oh my God, I wished I would have understood this a lot sooner when I was a leader. But it's the concept of a team of one equals a team of two, which creates a team of we. And oh my God. So think about this. A lot of us want to get people to literally be at their best. But the way we approach it is we let them be a team of one at being their best. I don't care who you are. When you're by yourself, you will never be a great team of one. You always need someone else to make you a better team of one, but then you become a team of two. And you can't literally see the bigger picture of the organization till you're a team of one, a team of two, and then you can become a team of we. And the we is everybody. And we have literally seen that in the business, in Leaders Helping Leaders Network. We have literally seen that work. I don't know if people know this or not, but we do individual coaching and consulting with people. When you have a really tough problem employee that you've done everything that you can do with, we literally team with them and their direct report. And we literally go to work on making them a team of one and a team of two. When we do, we have seen the team of we come out and they are 100% better in the organization. So if it's kind of like math, I'm talking a lot here and I get it, but I want people to understand how, if I were to talk about mindset math, right? If I were to ask you a question, Kelly, if I were to say, what's 1 + 1?
2.
1 + 1 = 2, right?
Right. In the math world. Sure.
Well, it equals 2 in the math world, but when I talk to people about changing their mindset, I always say, you got to change your math. And one plus one doesn't equal two anymore. Because if it just equals two, it's flat. All you get is two. But if you want one plus one to equal three, that's the key, because the three becomes a force multiplier. Now, how is that? Because here the way, one plus one means that I take your idea and my idea, and then I decide which one's best. That's how you get two.
Right.
But when you take my idea and your idea and create a better idea, that's a three.
Correct.
See, that's a force multiplier. So a lot of people have to understand that's the same concept of a team of one becomes a team of two becomes a team of we. One plus one equals three when you became a team of one, team of two, and team of three. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think we saw that happen this week with our own strategic planning, you know?
Yeah.
No question about it. I mean, you had great ideas. I had great ideas. But when we actually conversed about it back and forth and we're listening to each other and dialoguing about it, we came up with a better idea, you know, as a group that I think we saw work even yesterday when we were on the phone with customers and clients.
I want people to stop. I'm serious. I want people to stop right now. And I want you to realize you will never push yourself to the next level unless you team with someone else to do it. I do not care who you are. You have got to find somebody that's faster, stronger, better than you, that will push you to that next level, or I guarantee you, you will become what you always have been. Now, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, that means you'll level out. But when you find someone that literally can push you to that next level, you'll be better. Greatness is never a singular event. It is always a multiplier of people. And people need to realize that.
Yep.
So when you talk about leadership, oh my God, you have got to find, listen, I have not understood the importance of personal growth until the last several years. Now, I always read and always pushed myself to be better, and I always wanted to be the best I could be, but I didn't realize the importance of me pushing myself to personal growth to move myself forward. Now, I want y'all to think about this for a second, and I literally want you to think about this, and I want every one of our readers, I mean, our listeners out there to think about this. I want you to think about one area in your life where you literally kill it. I mean, one area of your life where you literally absolutely kill it. So if it's in the physical realm, in terms of your exercise, losing weight, a parent, somebody at the workplace, everybody thinks you're a great leader. I don't care where it is. You identify where that is, and you identify what that is. Now, you know what the sad thing is? There's a lot of people who ain't great at nothing. Now, it doesn't mean they're bad people. So I don't want anybody to take that I'm saying that, you know, not trying to be great makes you a bad person, none of that stuff. But when you're not trying to be great, you'll settle for mediocrity. Do you hear me? 1,000% of the time. But I want you to think about one area of your life where you're great in. And I want you to evaluate the process that got you there. And I guarantee you, if you'll multiply that in other areas of your life, you'll become great in those areas. Like, let's say gym. I'm not great at physical fitness, but I work the heck out of it, which means in my own mind, I'm very consistent. And you know, Kelly, I am. And I talk to you all the time on the way back from the gym, and I work out. And it's not that I'm a great physical condition, but I'm great at that because I push myself beyond my limits every day in the gym. Now, there are some days that I just grind it out. Yes. But I push myself in that area. And what I do is I transfer that whatever effort I give in the gym to the effort in leadership. It's like, you know this. It's like when we were trying to meet this week, we couldn't find the time, nor did we have there's so much going on. We really couldn't take the time to spend as much time as we did meeting.
Right.
But we did it. Why? Because we knew we had to. Because we pushed ourselves just like we pushed ourselves in the gym. A lot of people will stop and they won't move forward, right? They'll have some kind of distraction come and then they won't move forward, or they'll forget what they're doing.
Well, and I think that's a really good point, because a lot of the reading that I've been doing, you know, I'm an avid reader as well. And one of the things that I think is so important for people to realize that you just said is find your strengths. And we spend so much time trying to improve on our weaknesses, where if we would just work on our strengths and make those even better and realize what is working on those strengths. And like you said, applying it to the other areas that are important, you'll see that improvement. And I don't know if we'll talk about this in this, but your whole plus 1% thing has been just a huge change, mindset change for me this year. And I've applied that in so many different areas of my life, but I've focused on where my strengths are first and then said, okay, if that's how I do it in that aspect of my life, now how can I take those same principles and apply it where I need it to work better?
Let's take a short break from the show and we'll be right back.
Hi, Straight Talk listeners. This is Kelly Corbin. If you enjoy listening to Dean on air, how would you like to have him come and either be an instructor in a live class or be a keynote speaker at an upcoming convention that you're helping to plan? If that's the case, give me a call. You can find my number at our website, www.lhln.org, or fill out the request form on our website, and I'll reach back out to you. We look forward to working with you to grow future leaders. Hey, Straight Talk listeners, this is Kelly Corbin, and I want to ask you a question. Do you know your why of leadership? Have you thought about it? Well, when you take one of Dean's live classes, whether it be intentional leadership, master leadership, or his warrior guardian class, you're going to ask and answer that question for yourself. That's what's different about a Dean Crisp class. Make sure that you take one this year. It will take your leadership to the next level, guaranteed. Learn more about each one of our live classes, as well as our virtual and e-courses, at www.lhln.org.
You know, you just said something, Kelly, and I'm going to let Drew chime in here in just a second, but I'm going to ask Drew to chime in. You said you're an avid reader, right? Well, when you really become different in your life is when you be an avid applier.
Correct.
Means that you, whatever you read, you're going to apply. And a lot of people just read, and they don't apply. So what that means is you have to put action to what you find out in terms of information. Mm-hmm. You know, we always talk about this concept about how information creates curiosity, which creates a motive, which creates a desire, which creates an effort, which creates a commitment, which in turn creates a result. You know, I created that kind of model of, you know, this is what happens. You know, you create information, which creates curiosity. And then it kind of creates a motive for why should I do that? Then it creates kind of direction, if you will, then an effort, then a commitment, then a result, you know. And the one thing I want to say about that is that's a process, right? And when we talk about process, this week, what we've really worked on at LHLN is refining our process. Mm-hmm. Because we know what works and we're trying to find out what works and we're refining that process. And it's like, you know, so I want people to think about this for a second from the podcast world. I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine one, you know, a team of one equals a team of two equals a team of three, or we. A team of we, all right?
Team of we, yeah.
A team of we. And I want people to think about this. In order for you to be a team of one, a team of two, and a team of we, you have to have a process to do that. So you know what that process is. Then you execute that process. Then you get results. Once you get results, you review those results. Then you make adjustments in your process. And then you repeat it over again.
Right.
And you look at that. And oh my God, that is the key. And that's what happens in the gym. Exactly. That's what happens when you lose weight. You find what the process is and then you execute it and then you get the results. Then you review those and see if it's what you wanted. Then you adjust those and then you repeat it again. That is a magical key to freaking success right there.
No, absolutely. And I want to hear from Andrew too, because I know he's learned a lot just in the last couple of weeks. And I was fortunate enough to get to join him last week when he was in Omaha. But, you know, the thing is again, I think if you focus on what you're good at, and every one of us is good at something in our lives, we are exceptional. That's just what really clicks with us. Focus on what works there analyze it, learn from it, and then apply it in other areas. We spend so much time trying to improve on our weaknesses, where if we would just look at our strengths and see what's working, that what is working for us, and applying that, that we would see so much greater growth in ourselves, which leads to growth in other things in your life.
Hey, you know, we're freestyling, right? So you just made me think of something. You just made me think of something. That's why I love doing these freestylings, is because they made me think, you think of something. So here's what happens with a lot of people. A lot of people, you just said it, they focus on areas that they're good at. Well, one of the problems, and I like where you're going with that, but one of the problems is that when you focus on areas that you're really good at, you get a little more comfortable than you think. So when you get a little comfortable, you get lazy, right? And so when you get comfortable and you get kind of lazy, it creates kind of a, you know, you're not being the best you can be. And so when you were thinking about a process of being good, it made me think about something. Do you know what really kills a lot of people's progress? I mean, seriously, it kills their progress like dead as a hammer. Is they focus on things they can't do anything about.
Thank you. Yes, exactly.
So in other words, what happens is they focus on their areas of concern and not areas of their influence.
I love that. Yeah, that's really true.
Here's what I want you to realize, okay? I want people to realize this, okay? And I want you to think about this for a second. If you take the stressors in your life, and I guarantee we all got a bunch of them, but I guarantee if you take your stressors in life, I would be willing to bet that 95% of them, you can't do a damn thing about. So what happens is the second you realize you can't do anything about it, it creates a stress because there's no resolve to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the second you create a stress that causes no resolve to it, now you almost put yourself in a box and you're like, honest to God, I'll give you a good example. Y'all know police cars, they park like that, right? If you're watching via the YouTube video, they park side by side with each other, right?
Right.
And they're
right.
You see them all the time in parking lots, whatever. You see them all the time all over the place. Cops pull up beside each other in parking lots, talk. I guarantee you 95% of that conversation is about something they can't do a damn thing about. Now you think about this for a second. When a cop is having a conversation like that, you're driving yourself down a path that there's no end or no resolve.
Yeah.
So in other words, you'll say, man, this place sucks. God almighty, these leaders around here, they're terrible. Did you see what happened yesterday? Oh my God. Have you seen what city council is doing? Jesus, George Floyd thing is driving me freaking nuts, man. We can't do anything about it. And before you know it, you're in a tither because there is no resolve to the concern you brought up.
Right.
If you want to create a stressful, a life that's much more stress-free, focus on the things you can do something about. You can't do anything about some of those things. You can't do anything about the promotional list unless you're the chief. You can't do anything about those other things that are going on. And we, what happens to us is, I always tell people this. I say, listen, the number one cause of low morale is lack of focus on the right things. So in other words, the cops are focusing on the things they can't do a damn thing about, and it causes a huge morale problem. You know, because now they drive themselves into a corner. And if you want to listen, I guarantee right now, okay, let me practice this on you today, Kelly, okay? Are you ready for me to Vulcan mind screw you?
All right.
You ready? Huh?
I know, I say you don't, go for it.
No, you don't sound too enthusiastic. So
No.
I'm gonna clean
do it on
your,
Drew.
No, I'm gonna clean your brain from this, but I'm gonna Vulcan mind screw you for a second, okay?
I'm gonna show you
how your morale will go in the crapper in 2 seconds. You got it?
Okay.
All right. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell me all the things you can't do today.
That I can't do today?
You can't do today. That you'd want to do, you can't do today.
Do you really want to hear that list? It's so mind-blowingly long.
Okay. The second you start saying what you can't do today, what does that mentally do to you?
Oh, it absolutely will Vulcan mind screw you. Absolutely. In fact, it's so funny you mentioned that because, you know, one of the things I have struggled with is just overload. I mean, there's just so much that goes on when you're running an entrepreneurial enterprise like we are. And I happened to find, I ran across Mel Robbins, who wrote the 5-second rule. And her belief is your brain is basically wired. They've proven this, that your brain is wired, that if you think about something that needs to be done and you don't act on it within 5 seconds, it will literally just mess up your whole day. So what her strategy is on what you just said, and what you just said is, instead of letting all of this mind clutter, and she uses a great visual. If you can imagine standing over a sink and you've got like a mason jar and a pitcher of water, and the pitcher of water represents everything. It's kids, it's family members, it's cleaning the house, it's emails, it's phone calls, messages, texts, everything. And it starts to overflow into the sink, you know, and that, and the mason jar is your brain, you know? So she's like, the first thing you got to do is get all that out of your brain and write it on a piece of paper. Just write it on a piece of paper. You know, no matter how long it takes 30 minutes, write it all down. And then the only thing you should be worried about are the top three things that actually matter for that particular day. What are the top three things that absolutely have to be done that day? And then just chip away at that. And it's just brilliant. And you're absolutely right. If you start focusing on all the stuff you can't do, then you shut down.
So what it's like, I do RAM right there, overload. I literally Vulcan mind screwed you to the point where I could literally make your day terrible because you can focus on everything you can't do. And, right. And that is so ridiculously powerful that people need to realize, stop focusing on things you can't do a damn thing about. Mm-hmm. Yes. Be aware of them, but don't let them listen to me now. Here's, you know, I'll talk about these bam, kaboom, you know, moments in the classroom.
Aha, bam, aha, bam, kaboom.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the aha, bam, kaboom moment. Stop letting them live rent-free in your brain.
Boom.
They're living rent-free in your brain. That's all they're doing. They're just occupying space rent-free. I mean, stop doing that. And that may be a person. Go ahead, Drew.
Yeah, I just want to interject on a couple of things. We've been going over several things this morning, but I want to touch on when you said that if you learn while you're learning leadership, it doesn't really mean anything unless you put it into practice, right? So you were talking about me texting you while I was in Atlanta. So we had a retired colonel who was teaching some leadership stuff in Atlanta. And it was like a wow moment when he started talking about emotional intelligence. So I say this because if I had just, you know, put the podcast into whatever and then edited it and put it up and then never even listened to it, I wouldn't have any clue of what he was talking about. So when he started talking about it, that's when I started bringing up transactional versus transformational. And then fun, you know, I'm going to say something kind of funny, but he said, "Oh, that's very interesting. Where did you learn that from?" I said, "I'm glad you asked."
He's going to steal it, Dean.
Yeah.
No. I'm just teasing.
Gave him your information. I even told Dad that I hope that y'all link up because he's just a great dude. And I think y'all would get a lot out of each other. But I wanted to touch on that. If I didn't go through with the process, like you were saying, listen to every episode, not just throw it in there and put it up online for everybody to hear, but listen to it, learn something from it, then I wouldn't have been in a situation where I'd even knew what he was even talking about or interject on let him know what I, you know, something new. So that I wanted to kind of
those who don't know, Andrew does, he's our podcast editor. He helps produce and does all of our podcasts every week. And he's been doing it. Matter of fact, he is the one that literally pushed us over the edge to do a podcast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were Kelly and I were like, I don't know.
I was like, geez,
can I do one? I mean, my God, here we are almost in our 80th episode. Most podcasts stop at 20 or 30 and they're done. Here we are at almost 80 podcasts. And Drew's the one who's like, dude, you need to do this. And I was like,
well, and I might, let me just interject too. He put the first podcast up when he had a 1-week old set of twins. coming home. Right?
Talking about pushing yourself to that level. I mean, honestly,
I just saw the value in it in the times that we're in, and I knew it was trending upward, and I just knew that a lot of people could get a lot of value out of you, not just teaching in the classroom, but a weekly learning session. But I do want to mention one other thing about the stressors and what you were talking about. We learned some stuff about Stephen Covey, which you read his books and you talk about Stephen Covey, but the experiment that he did when he got the lady up on the stage and he said, put the rocks into the jar.
The sand is
everything else that you have to worry about. And it takes up all the, said rent free in your brain. So I just wanted to kind of throw that in there, that we actually did, learn a lot of stuff about the stress-free Stephen Covey model. And I was talking to an owner, and I had just got the commercial insurance policy on my security vehicle that I drove from Nebraska. And it's, if anybody's in any business, a commercial policy is nothing like a private policy. I mean, it takes some money to insure, especially in the security agency. But I was worried about it, and I called an owner who had reached out to me, and we were talking, and he owns Phoenix, Albuquerque, and Denver, Colorado locations. And I didn't know this at the time, but I'd looked up the net value or net profit that he did last year at Denver alone, and it was like $6 million. So the guy's he's doing something special. So the first thing he told me, he listened to me, and then the first thing that he said literally out of his mouth was, dude, don't stress the small stuff. And it was like, I just paused, and it literally transitioned my mind and my thoughts into, oh man, I could be worried about so much other stuff, like insurance. You know what I mean? Like, and just a single sentence, and that's all he said. And it just bam, transitioned my mind to, I could put my energy and my thoughts into something else other than something I cannot do anything about. I can't make the rates.
That's right.
I can't produce the policies.
Absolutely.
You know, it is what it is. If you go out there and do the best you can, everything's going to be taken care of. Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you this, and let me tell all the folks out there in podcast land that's listening to us about money. You know, there's a lot of people who think, hey, I'm going to make a lot of money and do all this stuff. Let me tell you something about money. And this is something I don't make a lot of money. Hell, but I make enough to be comfortable, and I'm fortunate enough to have worked long enough to get a pension. But realistically, there's three things about money you got to understand. Number one is you are either going to buy something with it, you are going to give it away, or you're going to pay taxes, because you ain't going to keep none of it. I mean, and there just ain't no way. This is like, I was looking at the financials for us and the business here, and I'm like, oh my God, yeah, you have a good month, but shit, you pay out 75% or 80% of that. And the federal taxes I just paid was like stupid, ridiculous. I mean, so it's like, you're either going to pay taxes, you're either going to spend it with buying stuff for the company, or you're going to give it away, because you ain't keeping it. And that's just the faster you learn that, the better you are at writing those checks for those insurance things and those things you have to do, because it's just part of doing business, man. You run yourself crazy. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just the way the world's going to work, you know. And we don't do this for money. We do this because we try to make a difference in people's lives, because what we've learned, we want other people to learn and to do. We want other people to be better than we are. And that's what we're trying to do here. So, Andrew, I love those observations, because it's like so poignant and so on point is the fact that you literally paying attention to stuff you can't do anything about will eat you alive.
Yeah.
You know, and it psychologically drives you into a literal, almost not so much a panic attack, but it drives you into an out of control feeling that drives cops nuts.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you want two cops to drive away from each other being pissed off, let them pull together for more than 5 minutes, and they're going to be talking about all the stuff that's a bunch of bullshit and they can't do anything about it. And then they're both mad and they drive off mad. I mean, they never drive off. I've seen cops. This is funny. I tell people this all the time. I've seen cops happy, but generally they're not alone. I mean, they're alone. They're by themselves. I've never seen two or more cops happy together. You know, wow. They're always got something to complain about and bitch about. But it's all right. We love them. God knows I've been one for 40 years, so I'm digging it. So, you know, Andrew, what was a takeaway? Give me a takeaway from that class you did.
I mean, there were several things. I think the Stephen Covey actually experiment. I had seen it before, but I didn't really, you know, look into it. But but you know, once you go through,
Drew, let me interrupt you for a second. Are you talking about the Big Rocks video?
Yeah, yeah. So you have two class cars. Are you going?
Yeah. If you don't know,
we can post a link to that on YouTube.
There, yeah. It's actually called Big Rocks. Stephen Covey was done in the 80s. If you haven't seen it, it is an amazing visual on doing the important stuff first and making sure. I mean, it's like one of the best ever. So
yes.
I hope you folks will take a minute to watch it. So go ahead, Drew.
So yeah, just when you have, you know, almost 2 weeks of every day looking at what you got to spend, what you got to, you know, what do you have to pay? What do you have to buy? What do you have to have on deck? And it just gets so overwhelming. But to put it in perspective of, you know, the Stephen Covey experiment of what are your big rocks? Like, what do you have to live with every day that you super care about? Like, family's one. And then if it's religion's another. And whatever else, the smaller it goes down, the less attention you pay to it. So I don't know. It just, you know, that was a big turning point. And, you know, after a week and a half of just beating in your head, you know, this is what it's going to take. You're only going to take 28-30% of everything, you know, and you're overwhelmed. But at the end of the day, you got into it. I got into it to create peace of mind. I got into it to give value to the citizens. And to provide an excellent security service that I believe that I can provide. So you got to look at the big picture and that's what I,
you know, it kind of makes, I guess it drives home when you were talking about all the money you had ready to invest that I told you how quick that would dwindle.
Yeah. Because,
you know, you can look and you can say, well, I got this pile of money. And when you start a business, all of a sudden it gets really small, really quickly.
Yeah, real
and because I swear there's more expenses than everybody. But this ain't a podcast about business. But
so, well,
I appreciate your perspective on that.
I'm just going to jump in here real quick. What I think is the coolest thing here is that Drew has been to all of your classes. That, you know, I think with the exception of maybe Warrior Guardian, and he hears you talk about this. He's read your book. He listens to the podcast every week. And I think what's really cool is what usually happens is that you hear it from another outside source that confirms what your parent or your dad has been saying all these years. And you're like, hey, yeah, there's some value here. You know, so right. I think that's what's really neat, you know,
what I think's funny, Kelly, is that all of a sudden I become a lot smarter than I used to be.
Well, that's usually what happens, right? It's amazing how smart your parents are once you hear it from somebody else. So. I know,
it's like all of a sudden I become a hell of a lot smarter than I was like 6 weeks ago. Right. But it's really good to see the growth of Andrew to do that. And that's what it's all about is investing in others to grow and all that stuff. And I mean, it's pretty crazy how all that works, but you know, I think Kelly, you and I learned, I'm going to add a couple more notes to some of the stuff we've learned this week, just by spending that time in the meetings and writing those downs.
Sure.
Is that you have to find a time, you have to talk to your people. Mm-hmm. And that is such a valuable thing that a lot of people don't do. And so let me say this, talking at someone is different than talking to someone. And, you know, I know that as a boss, I've done a lot of talking at people and I've made that mistake of, you know, thinking I knew better or whatever it was and talk at people. But it's like we saw the value this week of talking with people and talking to people, you know, and like you said, Kelly, that math, you know, we talk about the mindset math of 1 + 1 = 3. There were a lot of ideas that came out just simply because we were talking that were right in front of our face but we saw them once we started talking about it. You know, it's like, it's crazy how we were like, oh my God, you know, we came up with this, we came up with this relational value thing that we know we've always talked about: leadership, partnership, relationship, synergy. But we actually saw it, you know, how it works this week.
Amen to that. I mean, I completely agree. I mean, I was thinking the same thing, that, you know, just what you talk about in the book over here, which if you don't have a copy, you need to get a copy. You can get it at your favorite bookseller shop, you know, Amazon, Barnes and Noble. We have a link on our website that'll take you to whatever your favorite retailer is. That said, I think you're absolutely right. We proved that the Diamond Leadership Model works when it's tried this week. And in two ways, I think, both internally at LHLN, that you have to, and I think Drew's even mentioned this in the past when we've had similar conversations, is there's a book out there called Love Languages, which is actually designed for your personal relationships, but you can apply it to your professional relationships. And what it means is you need to understand what each person that you interact with on a daily basis, what their preferred method of communication is, and what means the most to them, and what's going to be the most impactful to them. And so you may not be able to get face-to-face with that person every day that requires that, but you can make the time once a month, or you can make the time at an interval that works best for both of you, to where you're going to get the most impact out of that relationship or that professional interaction, if you will.
Absolutely.
So we saw that internally. And then I think to your point on scaling our business with COVID and a lot of the challenges that we've had the last year, there is a hunger for live in-person training. We know that. And yet we have had some challenges in just getting enough registrations in some places and not enough and too many in others, you know, so we're trying to figure out the balance there. And one of the best things that we had a conversation about was that importance of what you were saying, is that we've got to do this as a relationship thing. And Drew, we kind of talked, we learned a little bit about that last week when we were doing sales things on the six P's for, mm-hmm. you know, for business development. Yeah. And it's so important that you can think this person is ideal as a customer, but then you need to nurture that relationship by saying, asking simple questions. Like the aha moment for us and Kaboom moment, well, the aha moment was, why don't we ask them who they typically go to when they're trying to fill a class at their location and they want it to be successful? Mm-hmm. Give us 3 to 10 people that you would normally call right away. Give us that list. We'll work with you as a partner to make that happen. All of a sudden now you've become their partner in helping them be successful as a host agency. And then on top of that, when you follow up and make those calls, then you're basically asking for those referrals from those people again. So you're basically creating this huge spider web. Officers can do this day to day in the field by getting out of their squad car or when in their patrol sectors, talking to people, finding out who those 3 to 5 people are that are the real movers and shakers in the neighborhood, both good and bad, and then branching out from there. I know sometimes that doesn't work, but it's a relationship building thing.
Oh, yeah. I will interject that. Yeah. I want to interject. Bringing up talking to people instead of talking at them, that we did this experiment this week, and I think it was awesome. I saw the value in it. I think you'll see the value in it. I think the listeners will see the value in it. If you can picture a whiteboard and a guy asks you, what are the best attributes of the best leader you've ever had? What would you say? Some people say they show empathy. Some people say they show care. Some people says that, you know, they're a good communicator, blah, blah, blah. And then after the experiment was done, and after the guy had written down 15 things that people say that they see in the best leader, he says, what does all this mean? And nobody could answer. And he said, you put every attribute that you guys had said that a perfect leader or the best leader is, it literally means that they put others first. Every attribute. And it was shocking, because if you looked at the attributes that he had wrote down on the board, all of it looked, and if you looked at it, you say, well, what does showing empathy mean? that you put others first. What is this? And it's just, I think that was just a big moment.
Kaboom moment for you. Absolutely. Like,
if you focus on people.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, Drew, we did that in the Master Presenter course when created the connection versus the information. What's more important?
Yes.
Information people tell you or the connection they make with you. And you're exactly right. It's all about the connection. It's all about the connection. I mean, it's just so valuable. And I mean, that's so true. And I'm glad that, you know, they did that and you saw that. I mean, what does it mean? It means connection, man. When people connect to you, they have a reason. When people connect, they want to believe what you believe. Yeah. And then you want to believe what they believe. When you don't have a connection, it's very difficult to do that. I mean, there is no doubt about it. I mean, that's awesome stuff. And, you know, when we talk about, I'm going to add something to talking together this week, Kelly, that I literally believe, and I have seen this in my life. Now, you know, I like to give people stuff that I think will change their lives and make their lives 100% better. But I literally believe this has potential to be like really life changing because it's changed my life. One of the things that's really important about personal growth is you have to push yourself past your comfort zone. And we all agree with that. Like when you get really comfortable, you have a tendency to kind of settle for mediocrity and kind of settle in and not really do what you need to do. And one of the keys I have found to me to push myself out of that comfort zone and in turn make me much better than I am is it has to deal with talking. And this is something I want you to understand. One of the biggest problems that people have is they listen to themselves too much. Now, listen, that doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to yourself because, be honest with you, you're going to talk to yourself all day long, but you're going to listen to yourself. When you have a tendency to listen to yourself, you tend to settle for comfort. Do you follow me?
Right.
Which means you say, okay, this is what I need to do. This is all I can do. This is what I happen. I need da, 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 da. But what I'm going to tell you is you need to talk to yourself more. When you talk to yourself more, you literally are seeing the future. You're seeing where you can go and where you can be. When you listen to yourself, you tend to settle for where you are. And so as a leader, what I recommend is that you talk to yourself more and stop listening to yourself as much. Because when you listen to yourself, you will always settle for what you know is comfortable. When you talk to yourself, you see where you're going. You see, you can't listen to the future, but you can talk your way. I mean, to the past, you can't listen to the future as much as you can talk your way to the future.
Well, and I think what's really important about that I want to emphasize is how easy it is when we talk to ourselves. Remember that you have 80,000 thoughts a day on average. Those are all 65,000, and about 80% of them are negative, you know? So you really have to focus on that mindset first and foremost, that what are you telling yourself? Because if you tell yourself that, and that's what your mind thinks, then you're right. That's the future you're going to create. So you really need to emphasize the positive as much as you possibly can. I know it's not Pollyanna. You can't have every positive thought and, oh, the world's a wonderful place. And, you know, Russia or America is not going to push the button and we're all going to blow up, you know, whatever the case is, you have to make a conscious effort to have that mindset in as positive a place as you can get it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And there's a couple of things that I want to make sure that people understand is that, you know, when we talk about the level of concern versus what you can influence on, you know, our country really got into a bad mood collectively because of focusing on things we couldn't do anything about. And when you look at that, that drives you absolutely nuts. But the one thing I want to tell you about every leader, and I believe you'll find this to be true throughout history, is that leaders who take the time to be quiet and talk and listen to themselves generally are the ones who are going to be really great. And what that means is you can't be too busy to be great. You follow me? So a lot of people are just good enough to be good. They are just busy enough to be good, but they're too busy to be great. because they don't take the time to really just be quiet and listen talk to themselves. So you have to take the time as a leader to kind of, and I hate to say meditation, because a lot of people think that's a
just
bad word.
Mindfulness. Just being mindful. Yeah.
Well, just taking the moment to listen to what you've got to say.
Well, I think that's what I'm calling intentional margin, is that I think everybody needs to have that one day a week at least where they can just be reflective. You know, it could be just sitting on your back porch. And
I think you need it every day, not just one, I think you need it every day.
Yeah. But you've got to have what I call intentional margin.
Where did you get that from?
It's a lady called Amy Porterfield, and she was talking about it because she actually is in the middle of a 60-day experiment with her team that is basically going to a 4-day work week. And she's doing that deliberately to give them some intentional margin. She felt like they were so busy all the time that nobody was coming up with really quality ideas. It was just busy work, you know, and so they were working weekends and nights. And so she's made a conscious effort to go to just a 4 8-hour day. She hasn't cut anybody's pay, and, you know, they're going to see what happens. Every company that's tried that deliberately, there's a canoe making company that did it in California in Huntington Beach, and their sales literally skyrocketed.
I will interject on communication, and Dad, this is this conversation must have been written in the sky or meant to be, because literally hitting on this stuff last week was everything you're talking about. And there's a quote that I want to give you that I think is perfect for what you were saying. And I wrote it down. It says, your position is inversely proportional to the amount you speak.
That's awesome.
So the higher up you get, the less you should speak and the more you should act. And that was like, so true. So true.
I mean, that's a great comment right there. I mean, that's a freaking excellent thing.
Say it one more time, Drew.
It says, your position is inversely proportional to the amount you speak.
Love it.
That's great stuff, man. I mean, awesome stuff. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about it. Well, I tell you, folks, this has been, I hate to kind of end this here on our podcast, but we could keep going. We need to do this more often and really get together and move these things forward. I think that a lot of times, you know, you really are so busy, you don't take time to step back and say, these are some of the things we've done. And this week for LHLN has been just a tremendous week for us in terms of understanding the process better, understanding the value of relationships better, and understanding where we're trying to go better. And as a result of it, we've really taken some time to make our process better, and we're really moving forward. Drew, I'm really excited about you and your business, Signal 88, and the new security business you've bought, and good luck to you in that. And, you know, so I'm really proud of you there and what you're doing. One of the things I want to say with people is, Kelly, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
It's been great.
Happy to do it.
Do want to tell people that I can hear it. Can y'all hear it? No, I don't know. Can you hear it? No, you can't hear it. It's in my head, but I'm getting ready to crack off another 21-day challenge. Ooh. So if anybody's interested in joining us for the 21-day challenge, and this time we're going to be a lot better, and we're going to give people more instruction on what they're supposed to be doing during that 21-day challenge. And we literally are going to watch the results tremendously. If you were part of the 21-day challenge before, hey, jump back in again. But we're getting ready to kick that thing off in a month or so. In the next month or so, we're going to get ready to move into the 21-day challenge. If you want to be a part, send us an email or text or call us.
We'll create a landing page for that, and we'll just put that out there on social media. So
I want to know if there's any interest of people at listening to the podcast to kind of gauge where we might be on that.
Sure.
Because we're going to limit the number of people so that we can get individual interaction. And, you know, we killed it on the last one. We really made some real progress, and it's about time to kick that thing off again. So I want to get all of our podcast listeners to understand that we're getting ready to do that and be a part of something special. Andrew, I can't tell you how proud I am of you and the work you're doing. Kelly, killed it this week, and how proud I am of you of all the stuff that you're doing. We got a great team at LHLN. And folks, if you ever wonder where these podcasts came from, there you know, Andrew was the one who came up with the idea and said, man, you need to do it. This is something that can really make a difference. And me and Kelly jumped right on board, and hey, this is our 80th one. And oh my God, it's ridiculous. We're just killing it. If you like our podcast, please hit the subscribe button, pass it on to somebody else and share it. This has been a great freestyling week. And you know what, Kelly, thank you.
Write us a review.
Yes. Yep. We need a review on Google.
Yep.
And on iTunes.
And on iTunes. That would help.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Use us up. You know what? It's been a great week. And as we always say, what we try to do is add value to you and the people around you and make your life better. And what a great podcast this week. So thank you, folks. I appreciate you. All of y'all be safe out there. And then until next time, I'm Dean Crisp.
Thank you for listening to Straight Talk on Leadership with Dean Crisp. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast so that you don't miss an episode. You can go to www.lhln.org to find upcoming classes where you can book Dean for his new class. And you can also check out his new book, Essential Leadership Lessons from the Thin Blue Line. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.